Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, your host and Catholic therapist and founder of Covenant Integrative Counseling Services. It's great to have you with us today. So at the beginning of a new year, we often take stock of our lives and decide what are the good things we want to do more of or maybe be better at, and therefore we keep them in our lives throughout the coming year. At least hopefully, those are the New Year's resolutions that we want to keep around, but sometimes you know how that goes. We also look at what are the bad things, our sins, our addictions and obsessions, the things that drag us down, the things that prevent us from living to our potential, our worries even, the things we need to get out of our lives. There's never a bad time to shed our excess baggage or our negative ways of thinking and living. So many of our problems stem from our irrational thought patterns, and one of the big ones we frequently deal with and even pass on to those around us is our anxiety. Anxiety does have an impact on our family members. Our society seems to breed the anxiety in us. We're expected to be better employees, better producers, better managers, better at sales, better mothers and fathers, more beautiful, more successful, more energetic, more involved. The list goes on and on and on. It all takes a toll eventually. It becomes almost like we're on a treadmill and we don't know how to get off. We can't sleep at night because our minds just keep racing. The next day, we might take our fatigue out on our family members, neighbors, strangers, or even, heaven forbid, the family dog. I have a pug, so that means a lot to me. All while our spouses and children are watching. Imagine if you were raised in an anxious home, how that tends to double the impact. You've heard the old saying, you are what you eat. That goes not only for what we've been fed in our bodies, but in our minds as well. So on today's show, we're focusing on anxiety, what it does to us personally, and what we do to our families if we pass our anxieties on to them. My guest today is someone who's experienced anxiety for a good part of his life, and he's even written some books on it, The Worrier's Guide to the Bible and From Fear to Faith, A Worrier's Guide to Discovering Peace. He's also authored another book, Listen to Your Blessed Mother. Welcome, Gary Zimek, my friend. How are you?
I am great, Marianne. So good to speak with you again. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's great to have you, Gary. I appreciate it. So I really think that this is an important topic to discuss early on in the year. It's not one of those things we typically think about when we make New Year's resolutions or decide that we want to make a change in our lives. We don't often think of getting rid of our anxiety and living life in peace, but it's really important. Why don't you start off with telling how anxiety impacted you personally?
Yeah, and you know, as I was sitting here listening to you talk about anxiety, Marianne, I'm reminded of just how far-reaching the problem can be. I used to think of it as only affecting myself, but once I got married and had a family, it affected my entire family. Mm-hmm. My battle with anxiety goes back to when I was very young. I used to worry about my health. Mm-hmm. I used to worry about my parents suddenly dying. I used to worry about getting beat up in school. All of these things never happened, but they were real fears for me at the time, and I was stressed out for the majority of my life. Never really understanding that there could be an answer. I just accepted that, oh, well, that's the way I am. And this went on for years and years. I was dealing with anxiety. I worried about everything. I was not peaceful. And when I got married, my worries shifted. I started worrying about being a provider for my family. I started worrying about something happening to my wife or my kids. And I still worried about my own physical issues. And the funny thing is, I'm a relatively healthy person, but I always had this fear that I'd get some kind of a fatal disease or something like that, and I would worry about the future. So you name it, I worried about it, and it really affected me for many, many years.
So how did you switch that up, or what happened in your life that you decided, hey, I have to do something different? And then what did you do differently?
Interestingly enough, I feel that the Lord spoke to me through one of my greatest fears. In late 2004, I was having some mysterious symptoms. So I thought, this is it. I'm dying. I need to get closer to the Lord. I need to become a better Catholic. I need to get serious about my faith, which up until that time, I was really lukewarm. I went to Mass every week, but I was incredibly lukewarm. That started me on this road to getting to know Jesus better. And as a cradle Catholic, believe it or not, I never really thought that that was possible. I never thought that we could have a personal relationship with him. But what I started doing was reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. I started praying more. I started watching Catholic TV, listening to Catholic radio. And before long, I got to feel peace because I was getting to know Jesus. And what happened was this mystery ailment, they never were able to figure out what was wrong with me, and it did vanish. I started to feel better, but I never turned back. And now, Marianne, I have to be honest and tell you that even though I'm working full-time for the Lord, I'm working full-time as a Catholic evangelist, speaker, author, I've never been more peaceful, even though I have no guarantee of any salary. It's kind of a crazy thing, but that's the beautiful thing about the peace of Christ. It's not dependent on external circumstances.
Sure, sure. You know, I think this is also scriptural. You mentioned scripture. Yeah, Proverbs starts off, it tells us an anxious heart weighs a man down. Mm. Interestingly, once you gave your life over to the Lord, really, you stopped being weighed down so much. And
right.
You know, scripture, I heard this. There are at least 365 mentions of anxiety or worry given by Jesus in Scripture. And that gives us almost a verse per day for every day of the year. He really, really knew this was going to happen to us. He
right.
knew, I think, with original sin was going to come, that our hearts would be filled with all of these other things which were not of him, and therefore led us in the wrong direction and gave us worry. It's almost innately we know what peace is and we long for it, but we take wrong turns all the way.
Right, and Marianne, I always like to point out when I'm speaking about this, sometimes people will hear about the fact that our Lord doesn't want us to worry. He certainly makes it clear. He mentions it throughout the Bible, and they panic. And they think, oh no, now I'm worried that I'm worrying. And
exactly.
I always tell people, relax, don't be afraid to be afraid. Fear and worry, as you know, they're two different things. Fear is an emotion. It's not right, it's not wrong. And if we look in the Bible, we see some very good and holy people who were afraid. We see Moses, we see Abraham, we see the Blessed Mother, we see St. Joseph, St. Paul. All were afraid, and we're told by the Lord, sometimes through an angel, to be not afraid. Fear is something that can be real. I mean, there are times when we certainly should be afraid because it can motivate us to do something. Now, there are times that we're afraid that we really shouldn't be, when it becomes a lack of trust in God's providence. But fear can motivate us to turn to the Lord. It can motivate us to turn to him and to ask for his help. On the other hand, fear can lead to worry, which is not a good thing. That's useless. Worry will not do us any good. And just so you know, I fight this battle every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at a point where I say, that's it, never going to worry again for the rest of my life. But I'm learning, Marianne, to trust, to turn to the Lord when I begin to be afraid. And that's when his peace starts to fill my heart.
That's right. I think if we understand and we truly believe that he's got us covered, there's mm-hmm. not a breath that we take that he hasn't counted and hasn't given to us. He's got us covered. It's all through scripture, you know, not to be anxious about what you'll eat or your body yep. or what you'll put on, you know, all of that. And St. Paul to the Philippians says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and yep. supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Is that what you did, Gary? Did you give it over to prayer? It sounds pretty much like that's how you did it.
I did, Marianne, and that's what I continue to do. And in fact, that verse you just read, that's my wife's favorite verse.
Oh,
and
is it?
Wow. It's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And the very next verse after what you just read states that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you turn it over, when you turn to the Lord in prayer, and let your request be made known. He said that right there.
Yes.
You know, he said, let your request be made known. You let them be made known, and that peace that comes from the Lord starts to fill up your heart. It might not last, but that's okay. Then you go back to the Lord and speak to him again. And that's one of the ways that I feel in my life that the Lord has continually reached out to me to get me closer to him, because he knows that I have this issue with anxiety, and I consider it to be a great blessing. Because it reminds me that the Lord wants to be in contact with me.
It keeps you humble, too, doesn't it, Gary?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And that's it also, another one of my favorite passages comes from St. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul boasts of his weakness. And he asks the Lord to take away this thorn in the flesh that he had three times. And the Lord said, no, because I'm going to give you the grace, and my grace will be sufficient. And for a worrier like me, that makes me feel really good, because, Marianne, I'm not a strong person. That's okay. The weaker I am, the more the Lord is willing to help me. So I admit my weakness. I boast of my weakness, too. Whenever I go out and speak, I say, look, I'm weak. I can't do this by myself. But when I turn to the Lord and say, Lord, can you please help me? He's always there, and he's never let me down, and I know he never will.
You know, and I think that's where you really do your best, too. You know, if we try to take control and we feel that it all weighs upon us, whether it be to provide for our families or to be good at work, to be perfect in any way in whatever we do, and it's all on me to do that, we mess up. Well, I should speak for myself. I mess up. But if I realize that I can't do this, Lord. Just put in that little prayer before the words come out of your mouth. Lord, give me the words, because I can't do this without you, and I want to do it your way, not mine. And when you do that, that's when you do a really good job. I just truly believe that. You can see it. That's when you have peace, too.
I totally agree. And when it comes to stopping worrying, this is something that I've tried to do for many years, and I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I tried. I looked at self-help plans. I tried a number of things, and eventually I realized that, well, I can do it if the Lord really does most of the work for me, if he helps me. And what happened as a result was, not only have I gotten more peace in my life, but I've gotten closer to the Lord, which ultimately is more important than stopping worrying. I want to get to heaven. So in order to do that, I need to have that good personal relationship with Jesus.
You know, I think worry is also habit forming.
Yeah.
It truly is. And that's where I think that we pass these things on to our children.
Yeah.
If we're worried about this and worried about that, and we vocalize that all the time, it's part of seeking perfection and somehow believing that life has to be perfect.
Yeah,
we pass that on to our children. And so I don't know if you came from a worrisome household when you were growing up, and that's because you state that it started very early in you. But have you seen any of that in your children? Or I don't know exactly how long ago you decided to really turn this all over to the Lord and let him take it. But I would imagine that in some ways your daughters were impacted.
Yeah, and it's been about 10 years now.
Okay.
But it's been a struggle. I mean, it's not something that happened overnight. But I'm seeing a positive impact not only on my daughters but on my wife, and she's told me this. She has said that she worries less now because the Lord has put me through some things, especially in the 3 years that I've done full time ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But He gives me material. He gives me material to speak about. But as I look back, I realize that, wow, he's always been there for me. And that helps us. That helps us to grow in trust with the Lord. And my wife has benefited from that. And I think my daughters have as well. And it's very interesting you mentioned that about my family. I think they worried, but they never, my mom and my dad really never spoke about it that much. My father was a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe they did have a tendency to worry. And here's something else. I bet you see this in your practice. I've encountered people who have told me, unless I'm worrying, I don't feel like I'm doing everything I should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Isn't that the truth?
It's a habit for me. It's almost like
sure.
I need to be worried, or else I'm not responsible.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting that you should mention that, Gary, because just this morning I was on the internet And I came across this thing right in front of me. It says, for those habituated to high levels of internal stress since early childhood, it is the absence of stress that creates unease,
wow,
evoking boredom and a sense of meaninglessness. People may become addicted to their own stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. To such persons, stress feels desirable,
wow,
while the absence of it feels like something to be avoided. We get bored if we're not anxious or stress, you know?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I agree with that,
yeah,
though, and as somebody who lived through that, I kind of feel the same way. Even though I wanted to shake the worrying habit,
sure,
I felt that, well, if I'm not worrying, something's wrong with me. I'm too carefree. But
yeah,
the Lord wants us to do something. He wants us to do what we can to alleviate some of our problems. And he also wants us to turn to him, to pray, to receive the sacraments, to read the Bible. These are concrete things we can do, but he doesn't want us to worry. So it's just, yeah, we should be doing something, but worrying shouldn't be that thing that we're doing.
You're listening to The Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm Mary Ann Jepson. My guest is Gary Zimek. He is a Catholic author and speaker. He is the author of The Worrier's Guide to the Bible and From Fear to Faith, A Worrier's Guide to Discovering Peace. He also authored another book, Listen to Your Blessed Mother. Gary, do you have a website that you could direct our listeners to?
I sure do, Marianne. My mm-hmm. website is followingthetruth.com.
Great, followingthetruth.com. So let's just talk about some real issues that people face, other people face. And perhaps maybe you did this too. You were in the business world.
Right.
And I imagine that caused a fair amount of stress in your life. With the boss who was looking over you, mm-hmm. there were expectations of a certain amount of that you would provide, or you know, that you would maintain and seek higher goals along the way, the performance expectations. How did that affect you, and how might it affect other people as you have seen when you were out in the business world?
It affected me tremendously. And in fact, I worked for 30 years. I started as a computer programmer, and then I eventually moved into project management. Mm-hmm. And throughout that 30-year period, I always felt that I wasn't doing an adequate job. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But I especially know that when I got involved in project management, and the position just became all financial. All I was doing was looking at budgets, managing people. I was way over my head, and I was so stressed out, Marianne, mm-hmm. that I eventually got shingles, which at that point I realized that I was having some problems. One of my greatest fears was that I would get laid off. Now, in 30 years, that never happened until January of 2012, when for the first time in my life, I got laid off. And prior to that, I was feeling this call to maybe work full-time for the Lord. I just didn't know how it would be possible. Mm-hmm. And really, that layoff turned out to be a great blessing, because that launched my full-time career. My wife and I said, why don't we just go for it and see what happens? But at the time, prior to that, I always thought, if I ever get laid off, how will I support my family?
Yes.
What will happen? Will
mm-hmm.
we have to sell our house? You know, and I had this what-if syndrome that just rippled. But one of my greatest fears came true, and I survived, and it actually turned out to be a great blessing.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Because that would be... And I know this from my practice, too, is I oftentimes feel so badly for whoever the breadwinner is in the family, whether it be the wife or the husband. They often feel like, gosh, I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. I have
right.
these hungry mouths looking at me across the table. There's a mortgage, or there's this or that or whatever. That in itself is such a stress producer. But then when you have the stress at work and you bring that home,
mm-hmm.
I know I see marriages falling apart because of stress. I see people getting sick. Like you say, you got shingles.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was in grad school and I was working, and I was working part-time, going to grad school full-time, I got shingles also.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You do release the cortisol hormone, you know, the hormones and the stress hormones, which do impact your physical health. So,
yeah.
Again,
yeah, and you know, Marianne, it's funny, when I went to the doctor and he diagnosed the shingles, he said, "Are you under a lot of stress?" And that really hit me, because I kind of knew it, but to hear him say that, I thought, "Wow, I got to do something about this."
Got to do something about it. So it sounds like you didn't necessarily do something about it.
I didn't. No,
but
you're
God
right.
did, right? God.
You're right. And we got to the point where my wife, even though I didn't have another job, she said to me, "You might have to quit if it doesn't get any better."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a month later, the layoff happened. And again, it was a great blessing, but it was getting really bad. And I knew it was affecting my health and it was affecting my family. And that wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. So do you have some practical ideas and to really offer some people the hope that maybe God isn't just going to take their job away like he did yours and then direct them into full-time ministry and
right.
just take care of everything that way? Do you have practical ideas and suggestions for people who stay in the ring at the work, whatever their work is, and how they might be able to add prayer or different things into their day that would lighten the load for them?
Certainly praying every day, several times a day, is crucial, and that's one of the things that I've discovered. Just start your day being thankful for the fact that you have another day, that the Lord has given you another day, and always continue to ask. We frequently ask for material things. We don't have a problem asking for material possessions and things that we need, but we often forget to ask for these spiritual gifts, the ability to trust God more, and that's a key one, the ability not to worry, the ability to get to know Jesus more. Ask him everything. "Lord, please help me. I'm struggling. I'm afraid. I don't trust you. I'm worried about the future." And when we do that, it's not all on us, because the Lord starts to do the work, but he waits for us to ask. And that's a very important lesson, that constant communication with the Lord each day. Even if it's very informally, you don't have to pray for 5 hours each day, but that prayer is crucial. The other thing is, oftentimes I'll run into people who will say, "God never speaks to me," but yet they're not reading the Bible. We have to remember that every time we open up the Bible, God speaks directly to us. And when we open to verses such as Romans 8:28, we know that in everything God works for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. We remember that anything that happens to us is part of God's plan. It's not always his explicit will. He doesn't always cause things to happen, but he allows things to happen. And if we just take a step back and realize that there's nothing that will ever happen to me in my life that's not allowed to happen by the Lord and will not help me in some way, then we start to feel a little bit more peaceful. But I've found reading the Bible, trying to get to daily Mass, which is something that I've always been able to do, but not everybody can do that, and also praying every day, that's very critical in establishing this relationship with the Lord, and that is what brings about the peace. And then just continuing to get to know him better, for me, that's worked tremendously.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gary, I often tell my clients, because they always come to me and there's some dark or troublesome thing in their lives. You know, they don't come to me because they're at peace, right?
Right.
So
right.
Time after time after time, I've seen this in my own life, and I try to help them to see life in a certain sense as a series of different tunnels. They will come upon you, they will be dark, they will feel like you're suffocating sometimes, they're putting pressure on you, you know, but the Lord is the light through that dark tunnel, through
right.
that path. He shines the light, he leads the way. You can't see him.
Yes.
When you're in that darkness, you can't see him. But that's where faith, to have the eyes of faith, to pray that
yeah.
God will give you the eyes of faith, to know that even though you can't see him, you can't feel him in that dark tunnel, he's got the light before you and he's leading
right.
you just like a magnet right on through it. But you know what? That tunnel is going to prepare you for the next one when it comes.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
going to be out for a while, hopefully. You're going to have some sunshine. You're going to have some peace. But, you know, in this world, we will have struggles.
That's
we
right.
will have challenges, right? So they're going to keep coming, but each one prepares you for the next one. So that's a little bit of hope, I think, to know that even though you have some dark times and some challenges and some anxiety, God's preparing you.
He is, and like you said, and Jesus told us this using those almost exact words,
mm-hmm.
that we will have troubles in this world, but fear not, because he has overcome the world. So he's bigger than any of our problems, and he's always right with us, and I think that's the key. The key is that I don't have to do it myself. I'm not going to have a problem-free life. Well, neither did Jesus, neither did Mary, neither did many of the saints. Nobody had problem-free lives, but they were all able to cooperate with this grace that the Lord gives all of us so that we could experience peace even in the midst of tremendous suffering.
Indeed. So I think it comes down to a matter of trust in the Lord, yeah, and praying for the eyes of faith so that you're able to do that. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Pray to be righteous and he's never going to let you fall. He's got you covered, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And hearing those words, it's like hearing the words, I love you, from your spouse. Mm-hmm. You never get tired of hearing the words of the Lord. If I open up my Bible to John 14:1 and I read, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. These are the words of Jesus. I can read that every day, and it's still not enough. I need to hear that. And that's the Lord reassuring me that everything's going to be okay. Just trust in me. And you know what, Marianne? When you don't trust in him, as I don't many times, mm-hmm, what we need to do is say, Lord, please help me. Please, yep, help me to trust you more.
Get me back on track.
Right?
Amen, yeah, to that, Gary. We have run out of time. So thanks for joining us. It's just been wonderful to have you. I hope you can come back sometime. Again, Gary's books on anxiety are The Worrier's Guide to the Bible and From Fear to Faith, A Worrier's Guide to Discovering Peace. Also, Listen to Your Blessed Mother. It's all about Mary's words in Scripture. Be sure to listen in on the Family Sanctuary every Monday at 12:30 and Sunday at 2 p.m. Until next time, be blessed.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.